I'm going to try something new this morning, okay? I'm going to try preaching from here with this, okay? We're going to try this. I know there's a lot of preachers that seem to have success with this, so I thought maybe I'd give it a try. So don't think I'm always asking you to do new things. I do new things too, but will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Though Scott's back there trying to figure out if he has a light setting to get it on me right here. Well, I ask you the question, have you ever been to a festival or a street fair? You know, the kind I'm talking about, with lots of booths and vendors. Everywhere you look, you can indulge in guilty food pleasures or purchase trinkets and artifacts related to whatever the purpose of the festival is. I know personally, I try to leave my wallet at home when I go to these, otherwise I could easily end up broke, especially with three kids. But I do love the music, the people, the excitement, and the passion that happens. Just yesterday, we had the excitement of the Armed Forces Parade here in the city of Torrance, with the ability to thank and recognize those who serve and protect us. I was honored that the military vehicles and personnel gathered in front of our church to wait their turn to join the parade. You kind of have to know what's going on, though. Otherwise, if you see all these big, huge military vehicles in front of the church, you'd kind of wonder what we did wrong, that they called the military in on us. But now, where I was proud of the festivities that were happening outside the doors of our church, Apostle Paul was not so excited about the festivities he found when he sought refuge in Athens during his ministry and life. Now, Athens was a town known for their intelligence and their extreme need for knowledge. They would just sit around and talk philosophy and see what all they could gain into their brains. And this drew them to Paul and his new theology that he was preaching. They asked for more, needing to know this newfangled way of seeing God and who he was. But I'm not quite sure they were ready for the response that Paul would give them. You see, Paul looked around and he saw more idols and gods in Athens than he saw people. A buffet of false hope and desperate acts summed up into one single altar that he called out, labeled to an unknown God. Paul called them out on their practices and proclaimed loud and clear that the highly intelligent Athenians were choosing to worship with that which they did not know. A pretty big insult for the intellectual community. But are we very far off from the Athenians of 2,000 years ago? If Paul came walking through our town and our churches and our homes, what would he find at the center of our attention and our lives? I fear that his eye would be caught by the idols we create out of material possessions, people, needs, sins, and shortcomings. I fear that he would see our need for security and comfort too often coming before God, leaving us worshiping an unknown God of self-care and not full and obedient faith. We, like the Athenians, need to be secure in who we are, how we feel, and how we are perceived. We build idols out of possessions to keep up with the Joneses. No offense, Joneses. You too. Buying bigger cars and bigger TVs with 3K and 4K and 12K and who knows what else. Needing the newest cell phones and iPads alike. We turn celebrities and friends into idols as we place them on pedestals that they are bound to fall off when their humanity shows through. But worse than any of that, I fear, is we too often build the biggest altars out of our lack of self-worth. We negatively worship our failures, allowing them to control who we are and how we live, handling them like a load that we and only we can carry. From our possessions, people, sins, and shortcomings, we have created an unknown God, because they are certainly not the known God that Paul risked his life to witness to and we come to worship today. Paul defends God as the Lord of heaven and earth, who does not need a shrine built out of human hands and earthly goods. He does not need his name inscribed on a statue or his image etched in gold, and he certainly does not need his own shoe or clothing line to boost his popularity and massage his ego and wallet. None of that represents the true God who created us and all that we have. God is not like silver or gold, as Paul reminds us. Though he is more precious than either, his value is not determined by economies and markets, and he will not be tarnished or stolen from us. We cannot carry him in our pockets, and we cannot hang him on our walls, but we can carry him in our hearts and hang him on our souls. You see, what does not impress God is the size of our shrines that we make for him, as material possessions have no value to the creator of all heaven and earth. But what God needs more than anything is for us to turn our hearts to him and not to this world. So how do we do that? Well, Paul tells us, as he told the Athenians, that it comes through repentance. Repentance is our literal turning around, turning away from false idols, turning away from our sins, turning away from our dependence on worldly goods that will not shape our hearts and lives in the mold of Christ's image. Repentance is turning away from our former ways that have disappointed us and brought us shame, letting go of regrets and mistakes, releasing the load that is too much for our human hands and hearts to bear, allowing God to take them and replace them with a life of obedience that awaits us. God desires for us to repent or make a U-turn to face him. You see, when we face him, we are able to see with clarity what is important, good, and right for us. But where does that leave our worship? It leaves the value and importance of our worship not in buildings and altars, not in stained glass or tapestry, but it leaves it in our hearts, where God desires it most. God went through the incarnation, you see, coming to this earth in human form so that he would no longer be a far-off, distant God, but instead would be the personal God who dwells within us and with us. Our worship is the recognition of that wonder, the acceptance of God's incarnate place in our lives, and then our actions become worship as Christ lives through us and all that we do. Romans 12:1 tells it best when it says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." The amount of sacrifice it takes to be in the military is almost overwhelming. They sacrifice their time, their bodies, and too often their lives to be able to serve their country with honor. God seeks the same for us as believers, to sacrifice our lives for the honor of being called the children of God, to put others before ourselves, to seek to be a source of healing and help to those around us, to care for God's creation, and to love without bounds. It is the opposite of the idols we create, as the true worship is selfless and carries no shame. It raises us up above the ways of this world, and possessions become what they are supposed to be, something that we own and can let go of at any time, and not something that owns us and has us dependent upon it. So let us lay down our idols, let us lay down our burdens, and turn our hearts to God, allowing our lives to be a living worship service where God is present, God is honored and praised, and we are lifted to the seat of honor. My friends, will you pray with me? God of all heaven and earth, we come in this place to worship you here today, to be able to bring you our burdens, to be able to bring you our worries, to be able to bring you our hearts in praise. We pray that you will allow us here to leave our burdens behind, to leave our shames behind, to leave our shortcomings behind, to leave behind our dependence upon this world and what it offers, to leave behind the shackling that we have to our possessions, and to be able to give it all up to you, having full faith and obedience that you will take care of every need that we have, that you will be there to catch us when we fall, that you will be there to heal us when we are ill, that you will be there to forgive us when we make mistakes, that you will be there to lift us up. And God, we, in return, give you our lives so that all we do can be called worship to you, that all we do is praiseworthy of you, that all that we do is what you desire of us as we live out the calling that you have given in our lives. And we pray that you will be honored, that you will be praised, and that we will be blessed each and every day through you. For you are our God, the one and only true God who is known by each of us and the way that you dwell in our hearts. And so it is to you that we pray on this day. Amen.